are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
4 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What is happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Tuesday, December the 15th, and we've found the common enemy here in the Pistons fan base. This is your boy, Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, the sports writer here in Detroit City covering sports gambling for PlayMichigan.com, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Welcome to the show. Thanks for spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast. It is my favorite episode of the week. It's Tuesday. It's the one where Brian does most of the work, and we really appreciate him, as we always do and have for a long time here on the podcast, keeping us afloat as your boy juggles a lot of other responsibilities. But still, my heart is here with you guys here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. Today, we're going to talk about the man who is going to bring this Detroit Pistons fan base together as we embark on the 2020-2021 season. As mentioned, Brother Brian has a special Almost Legends for us going back to the 1970s, a tale about the Pistons and Chicago Bulls. And also, the Brian Man comes through yet again with the Meet a Piston series about the birthday boy. Brian's going to tell you all about one of the new Pistons who's celebrating a little bit extra special today. But give me a follow on Twitter at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore for that. Also, the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons dash Matt Shook. Give Brother Brian a follow. Be Shook 12. That's S-C-H-O-C-H 12 on Twitter, and also the Play Michigan Twitter account, Play_Michigan. Appreciate you guys populating all of the parts of the Locked On Pistons family as we try to put a life together that you guys are involved in, the community, the Detroit basketball world. We appreciate you guys a lot. But we found the man and the common reason to get me over the hump as a Pistons, I guess, skeptic this past offseason, annoyingly so to some of you guys, I'm sure, but we're bringing the fan base together. I am officially over the offseason. Certainly, we will bring up the moves. We will analyze things in real time. We'll look back. But for now, I'm ready to roll. Let's move on. We are a Detroit Pistons community. We are bonding together against common enemies. We are ready to go to work with a group and a team that looks like something that we can get behind for the first time maybe in a long time. Let's all come together and rally against LaVar Ball. In a Q&A with Bleacher Report, Mr. Ball says, "The people in Detroit are great." We like that part. Quote continues, "I love the fans, but the franchise over there is raggedy as hell. They don't know a good player. I was giving them a lottery pick for free. LiAngelo has the skills to play and the notoriety to bring everybody to the game. How do you throw that out the window? They're going to learn the hard way. My boys are going to end up together playing somewhere. Jello can shoot the lights out. That was raggedy what they did, but hey, they're going to learn the hard way," end quote. LaVar, of course, referencing the late Sunday night release of LiAngelo Ball from the Detroit Pistons unceremoniously after the second preseason game where he didn't get minutes once again. We hate LaVar Ball. I'm not serious. I'm not serious about that. We shouldn't really hate LaVar Ball, nor should we hate LiAngelo Ball. Let's not throw too much shade at the young man. Hopefully he gets whatever opportunity is coming to him and maximizes the most of his basketball career, whether that's in the G League, whether that's overseas, whatever. I know we also have some Ball family fans in the fan base and the listenership as well, so I'm not going to actually denigrate them. No reason to. LaVar is a showman. He's been like a legitimate star based on how he acts, and that's great. I respect the hustle for him. Two of his sons, by the way, are relevant NBA players doing his job as a father. Not that it's the most important thing as a father to get your players or your sons to play in the NBA. Certainly raising great young men is the best part about being a father or a great young woman. I'm only guessing. I don't have kids. So, and he's got a third son that got an NBA tryout this past couple weeks. I'm not crazy about the Pistons being that team that kind of did the maybe a little bit of a publicity stunt with LiAngelo Ball, but not a big deal. But if it's got to be LaVar that we band against, then it's got to be, right? That's just what needed to happen. This is not a raggedy franchise. the Detroit Pistons. I hope it's not a raggedy franchise. I am dropping for now the negativity about Troy Weaver's offseason, embracing what we have. Sure, we will criticize. We'll still do that. You know me. I'm going to criticize things. I'm going to keep this going. But it's all out of love, man. Troy Weaver, you are a Detroiter now. You're one of us. Jeremy Grant, Mason Plumlee, these guys are Detroit Pistons. And I have a feeling that they will wear the uniform proud and perform to their utmost night in and night out, however it works out over these next several years with them in the red, white, and blue. Troy Weaver knows more about culture and more about building teams than certainly this podcaster, than probably anyone in the listening audience as well. Was it the right time to trade Bruce Brown and Luke Kennard to get maximum value for them as assets? Maybe not. But was it the right time to trade them, though? That is a different question. Maybe it was. We don't know. Maybe there's reasons these guys are gone. Maybe it's relationships around the behind closed doors. Maybe it's things we don't know about. And yes, I will still complain about it, especially if it doesn't work out well. But those kind of things are worth remembering. But that being said, we are tired, right? We're frazzled. Maybe we as a fan base are a little bit raggedy as hell at this point. We've been through so much. If you're like me, you root for the Tigers, you root for the Red Wings, you root for the goddamn Lions every Sunday, Michigan and Michigan State football. Man, great thing the Big Ten got played this year, right? I'm watching Monday Night Football just now. Yes, we're taping late on a Monday night, early Tuesday morning. The Cleveland Browns, they lose tonight against the Baltimore Ravens, but man, that is a great team. That's a fun team. They're gonna make some noise in the playoffs. The Cleveland freaking Browns. Detroit, any sport, we can't win anything. I'm so mad and so sad about that overall, all that's going on in the world on top of that. Hasn't been a great year, in case you haven't noticed. And Detroit sports aren't giving us anything, but we're going to enjoy it anyways, especially this basketball season. We're going to make it fun here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. Brother Brian adding a lot to it. You guys as listeners, the contributors, the voicemailers, the contests, the trivia, all that good stuff that we got going. I love you guys as listeners. I love all the guys, all the gals that are listening, the OGs, the number ones that have been here since the beginning listening for over 3 years that I've been doing this podcast, if you can believe it or not. That's, by the way, my favorite group, the OGs. But I also like love. How about love? The check-in when something interesting is happening with the Pistons so that they know about Locked On Pistons. They're going to check in every now and then. That's probably my second favorite group of the listeners. But how about that third group that's coming in? We see the numbers. It's the people who are just coming in now. Pistons are going to be playing in a little over a week. They're checking it out. They're feeling out the Locked On Pistons podcast. We love you guys, too. And guess what? You've got the free chance to move on up into the second group of the podcast listening fans, maybe even the first group down the line. You can be your own kind of OG here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. Welcome. Make yourself at home. But Pistons basketball, the regular season, is just 8 days away. I hope you guys are excited like I am too. Let's freaking go. Hey, preseason game coming up Thursday as well. But up next, Brian is going to take you back to the 1970s. Brother Brian, by the way, was born in the 1970s. Yes, those people do exist. He is one of them. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But hey, this episode is brought to you by 1010. Now, you may have read about this in the New York Times or Forbes, and we're excited to tell you about it. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Using only diamonds responsibly sourced from Botswana, 10 design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful commitment ring, launching exclusively on January 18th at BlueNile.com. And when they're gone, they're gone. We all know that the diamond engagement ring is iconic. It's a timeless expression of the deepest commitment between two people. And with 1010, it's been beautifully re-envisioned in the hands of 10 modern designers working exclusively with sustainably sourced diamonds. If you're making 2021 plans or looking for a unique and meaningful way to celebrate Valentine's Day, you're definitely going to want to check this out. Again, this exciting limited edition collection of diamond engagement rings launches on January 18th, and you can preview it exclusively at BlueNile.com.
Yes, sir!
Hey guys, we're still looking for those charity and gift ideas as well, looking at probably Wednesday's show for the gift ideas. So if you saw something on the internet or Instagram or that you think would be a perfect gift for Pistons fans, I got a couple to pass along. Doc Joe Brown passed one along as well. Is there something that you bought for the Pistons fan in your life at some point or something you came across on the internet that Pistons fans might want to know about? Let us know. We're looking for charities as well. Some good causes out there, preferably Michigan-related, preferably maybe athletics-related at some point, but trying to help some people out, maybe throw some money together from the Locked On Pistons family as we maybe adopt a small organization or something like that. If you have something in your mind, our minds are kind of working and see if we can put something together, but maybe you guys have some suggestions of roads that we can go down for that. And Fridays with Brian coming up, as you guys know, that we will do as we do every Friday, talking to Brother Brian, a loose, free-form conversation as we the last Fridays with Brian before the NBA season starts. That's coming up. But right now, Brother Brian, the Almost Legends series.
I-94 connects Detroit and Chicago geographically, but the Bulls and the Pistons have had a rivalry that at times has been one of the best in NBA history. Their regular season series is currently a draw at 133 wins apiece, and in the postseason they have squared off in six series, with the Pistons winning four of them, most recently in 2007. Everyone remembers or has heard about the 1988, 89, 90, and 91 series where Michael Jordan's Bulls lost to the Pistons three times in a row before finally beating the Bad Boys in the 1991 Eastern Conference Finals, en route to their first of six titles. But what about their first playoff series? Today on Pistons Almost Legends. The 70s were a transformative time in the NBA history. For the first half of the decade, they were competing with the ABA for basketball supremacy, and the amount of teams and the alignment don't resemble today's game at all. To begin the 70s, only four teams made the playoffs from each conference, which probably made sense because the Eastern Conference only had eight teams, while the Western Conference had nine, including the Pistons and Bulls. The Pistons had only made the playoffs once in the previous 10 years, but with a team that included future Hall of Famers Dave Bing and Bob Lanier, they were poised to make a run at it in 1974. While the top-seeded Kareem Abdul-Jabbar-led Milwaukee Bucks took on the fourth-seeded Gale Goodrich-led Los Angeles Lakers, the third-seeded Pistons were set to take on the second-seeded Bob Love and Chet Walker-led Bulls. The Pistons were coached by Ray Scott, and the Bulls were led by Dick Motta, and interestingly enough, their roster included future NBA coaches Rick Adelman and Jerry Sloan. The Bulls had finished two games ahead of the Pistons in the standings to earn home court advantage, in large part to the Pistons losing two of their last three games of the season to the last place Philadelphia 76ers and division basement dwellers Kansas City Omaha Kings. The games alternated home and away, so the first game was in Chicago Stadium, and the Pistons got off to a good start, defeating the Bulls 97-88 behind 27 from Bob Lanier. The Bulls came back to Cobo Arena to tie the series at 108-103 as big men Lanier and Bob Love each scored 38 points, and Norm Van Leer of Chicago threw nine dimes. Back in Chicago, Game 3 saw the Bulls almost squander a 10-point lead going into the fourth quarter, but hold on to win in a nail-biter 84-83. Bing led the way for the Pistons with 23, and Chet Walker had 21 for the Bulls. Down 2-1, the Pistons came home and meant business, behind over 20 points from starters Lanier, Stu Lance, and Bob Trapp to win a commandingly 102-87. The team split games 5 and 6 each with a 4-point victory at home to set up a decisive game 7 in the Windy City. Lance, Lanier, Bing, and Jim Davis off the bench would all score in double digits, but a 9-point deficit going into the fourth proved too much as the Bulls held on to beat Detroit in a close one 96-94 behind 26 from Chet Walker and 24 from Bob Love. Chicago would go on to be swept in the Western Conference Finals by Kareem and the Bucks, in large part to the Pistons taking them to the limit. But because the 73-74 Detroit squad was one win away from a trip to the Conference Finals, they are Pistons Almost Legends.
Impossible to follow Red Cone and Brother Brian, but we will try here. The 1970s, a notoriously dark era for Detroit sports. There just wasn't a lot of winning going on, and I think we can draw parallels to the, you know, most of the 2010s, right? I mean, I know we had the World Series in 2012 that the Tigers made and got swept by the San Francisco Giants, but there just after that there hasn't been a lot. But maybe the 2020s, maybe there's a little bit of a resurgence coming, like there was as the 1980s got going in Detroit, as the Tigers picked things up there with Alan Trammell and Lou Whitaker, and of course the Pistons later on, and they built it up for a good 5-6 year span before the Bad Boys reigned supreme in the NBA. The Dead Wings became the Red Wings. The Lions are the Lions. They're going to be what they're going to be, and maybe we don't have to say anything more about that. But Brother Brian, taking us back to 1974 with some great jams, some great players in Detroit Pistons history, and some great times as well that maybe some of you guys remember if you're some of the older listeners, but other guys, getting the knowledge dropped on you by Brother Brian like he has for the last couple months. I am proud to be part of this podcast and happy to be I don't know. Maybe it's the tennis. Maybe it's the lightheadedness. Maybe it's the old-fashioned I had while watching the Ravens take on the Browns. But feeling good today, loving the music, loving the Almost Legends series, and loving that Brother Brian putting in the work so that your boy Matt can just spin the records and act like a DJ today here on Locked on Pistons. But up next, more Brother Brian. He's going to tell us about the birthday boy, one of the newest Detroit Pistons celebrating a special day today. That's next here on the Locked on Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked on Network, your team every day. But hey, no BS from your boy Matt today. This is an app that really helped me through the summer, and I think it can help out you guys too. Life can be stressful even under normal circumstances. 2020 has challenged even the most difficult times of our life. You need stress relief that goes beyond quick fixes, and that is Headspace. Headspace is your daily dose of mindfulness in the form of guided meditations in an easy-to-use app. Headspace is one of the only meditation apps advancing the field of mindfulness and meditation through clinically validated research. So whatever the situation, Headspace really can help you feel better. You're overwhelmed? Headspace has a 3-minute SOS meditation for you. Need some help falling asleep? Headspace has wind-down sessions that their members swear by. And for parents, Headspace even has morning meditations that you can do with your kids. Headspace approach to mindfulness can reduce stress, improve sleep, and boost focus. I had the headaches over the summer. I was dealing with a lot of stress, just like we all have been in 2020. Went to the Headspace, went to the meditation. It's something that I went to daily and something that helped me out a lot pretty much right away. It got rid of a lot of the stress, and it's something that I vouch for 100%. Headspace is backed by 25 published studies on its benefits, 600,000 five-star reviews, and over 60 million downloads. Headspace makes it easy for you to build a life-changing meditation practice with mindfulness that works for you on your schedule anytime, anywhere. You deserve to feel happier, and Headspace is meditation made simple. Go to headspace.com/lockedonNBA. That's headspace.com/lockedonNBA for a free 1-month trial with access to Headspace's full library of meditations for every situation. This is the best deal offered right now. Go to headspace.com/lockedonNBA today. NBA fans, listen up. The Locked On NBA podcast is getting you ready for the start of the regular season with a special week of team preview podcasts all this week, plus waiver wire additions from Locked On Fantasy Basketball and rookies to watch from draft guru Chad Ford. Go ahead and tune in. I got my preview on the Detroit Pistons. Check that out during the Central Division Breakdown. Subscribe to Locked On NBA wherever you get your podcasts. Brother Brian, take it away.
With the whirling dervish that is Troy Weaver and his almost totally remade Detroit Pistons roster, we have decided to take a look at the players old and new that are on it and give a brief synopsis on who they are and where they came from. So today let's look at Jahlil Okafor, a 25-year-old, today is his birthday, 6'10", 270-pound center. Jahlil was born in Arkansas but attended Whitney M. Young Magnet High School in Chicago, Illinois. He was very highly recruited coming out of the prep ranks and took his talents to Durham, North Carolina to play for coach Mike Krzyzewski at Duke. An integral member of their 2015 National Championship and first team All-American as a freshman, Okafor was a one and done and was the third overall pick in the 2015 NBA draft by the Philadelphia 76ers. Jahlil was an NBA All-Rookie first team member, averaging over 17 points a game for the Sixers, but injuries and off-the-court troubles led him to being traded to the Brooklyn Nets a month into his third season in 2017. An unrestricted free agent after that year, Okafor went to New Orleans, where for 2 years he mainly came off the bench and struggled to get traction with the Pelicans. Okafor had planned to play for Nigeria at the 2020 Summer Olympics before the event was canceled due to COVID. He signed with the Detroit Pistons this offseason in hopes to get the chance to play more meaningful minutes and resurrect his once promising career. With the Pistons, he will provide depth at a center position in which Mason Plumlee is the projected starter and first-round pick Isaiah Stewart will need time to develop into. Okafor is a talented player on the offensive end, but questions remain about his motor and effort on the defensive end. He has reshaped his body and recently included meditation into his routine, which will hopefully aid him in his attempt to rewrite the narrative of his career. A BballIndex.com deep dive shows that Okafor is not very versatile on the defensive end and can only probably guard just one position effectively. Okafor signed a 2-year fully guaranteed deal for the vet minimum, which is just over $4 million, and carries a cap hit of just under $2 million for each of the next 2 years. Thanks for listening, and look for our next Meet a Piston when we will look at guard Svi Mihailić. Happy birthday, Ja.
Where is Ja?
Love it. Yes, happy birthday to Jahlil Okafor, the big 2-5 for Jahlil. Yes, of course, Tom Izzo tried to get him to come to Michigan State and just missed out on him. And Josh Jackson is another member of the Pistons who Tom Izzo just missed out on as well. Maybe Cliff Alexander will be the next one to join your Detroit Pistons. But that'll do it for our show. Brother Brian comes through with Almost Legends and Jahlil Okafor, Meet a Piston. We're going to talk about Svi coming up tomorrow as well. The Meet a Piston series continues 8 days from now. The Detroit Pistons will be in Minnesota to take on Anthony Edwards and the Timberwolves. I hope you're fired up. I am. The Pistons certainly Thursday night in Washington and then Saturday night taking on the Wizards as well to conclude the preseason. Let's get it on. Let's play some hoops. That wraps up this edition of Locked On Pistons. I am your host, Matt Shook. Now, tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Locked On NBA. Check out that season preview. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.